Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's find out who is frauds in the NFL and the NBA.
Here's the fraud alert.
I don't know why. It just makes me laugh every time I hear it.
That's a good one.
I want to start with you. I know you've got a couple. I want you to give your first one.
Yeah, my first one, I'll go into the NBA, Nick. I think the Philadelphia 76ers are still some frauds. They're the 5 seed right now.
They haven't even been healthy yet.
Yeah, but they're still frauds.
James Harden's coming back to save the day.
Not a chance.
Didn't you see him in the playoffs last year? Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. Never mind.
Well, there was that one game.
Oh, that one there was. Oh, yeah.
No. Okay. And then Joel Embiid, one of the best players on the planet. Nobody would deny that. Do I trust him to stay healthy throughout the playoffs? I do not. Tyrese Maxey, fantastic. Tobias Harris just isn't getting it done. That's still one of the worst contracts. It just feels like the same old story. You know what this feels like, Nick? It feels like Doc Rivers' team that he had in Los Angeles with the Clippers. And Doc is still the coach. And it feels like they have a nice, solid starting five. They have some stars on that team. They have a bona fide superstar.
Hey, you know, why does everybody make fun of me in the times that we lost? Didn't you see the teams that we had?
I can't do a good Doc Rivers. Yeah. I'll work on
his voice. It would hurt you.
It's really hard. You gotta do this. Yeah.
Do you remember that when he defended all of the early, like, playoff exits that he's had?
Oh,
with
and the 3-1s.
He called, by the way, the Magic are down 20 right now, and this is why I thought of it, because that Magic team that Doc Rivers coached, he was coach of the year. They were supposed to be awful, and they made the playoffs, but he literally said, did you look at that roster? Like, he just straight up threw everybody under the bus in that. I actually kind of like that he defended himself.
Yeah, well,
but they're down 21 right now to the Cavs. So.
I'm glad you like that he did that, because I do not like him as a coach. I don't understand why he's still in Philadelphia. Ultimately, I think he's going to be the crutch for that team. Embiid's a star. I don't trust him to stay healthy, though. James Harden, I don't trust him in the playoffs. They should not be in the conversation with, like, Milwaukee and Boston. I don't think they are at this point, but I think when you're looking for, like, the next best team in the East, I think most people, or the team maybe with some potential, I think most people would say Philly, especially when Harden comes back. I still think there are some frauds. I do not like the Sixers.
There's a certain point where you are who you are as a player. James Harden is who he is. He's not going to be a guy that suddenly goes and carries his team to a conference finals like Luka did. He's not going to be somebody that you can count on to be consistent in the playoffs or even in big games during the regular season, because we've watched it far too many times where he has faded. Yeah, his time with Houston, obviously, make no mistake about it, one of the best scorers during that stretch in the history of the NBA. I mean, he averaged 35 a game 1 year. When he was at his peak, he was one of the greatest scorers in NBA history. He traveled a lot, and he got to the free throw line 100 times a game, but you know what? He made it work, and he put points on the board. But that's as far as it goes. It's like when people used to always defend Russell Westbrook, and they'd be like, well, look at his numbers. What more can he do? I remember the 1 year he was in Washington, and that was a conversation. People get mad at me. What more do you need him to do? He's averaging a triple-double. Yet his teams don't win. He's inefficient as a player. And when it comes down to the important games and the playoffs and the situations that matter the most, he always fizzles. James Harden is that guy. So I'm with you there. I love Joel Embiid. What's going to happen in Philadelphia is they are going to waste the prime of Joel Embiid's career on an aging, falling apart James Harden.
Yes. See, the problem was they put in so much stock into the process and building that team through draft picks. Well, the process with Doc Rivers needs to move on, because it's just... it's not it, Nick. It's not it. The guy, we've seen it time and time again. They allow Brett Brown to have his opportunity through the struggles, gave him his shot in the playoffs. It didn't work. Doc came in. It just hasn't worked. Like, I don't understand why the Sixers continue to think that with him at the helm, that something's going to magically change and that they're going to compete in the East. There's a reason they have the 5th best odds right now to win the East. They're not better than Milwaukee. They're not better than Boston. They're not better than Cleveland. I would take Toronto over them. I don't like Philly.
Toronto's one of the best coach teams in the NBA.
Oh,
Nick Nurse
sure.
doesn't get enough credit for how great of a coach he is.
He is.
They always overachieve because of him. And that's why that team right there with, I mean, Pascal Siakam's a great player, but let's be honest. He's not on the level of a Nikola Jokic.
No.
He's not on the level of a Luka. He's not on the level of a Steph Curry.
Or of an Embiid.
Right. And they're still the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference right now. I mean, honestly, if I'm looking at the Sixers, I think at some point the Nets get it right and they're a better team than the Sixers. The Nets are, I know that's a flawed roster, but that is still a talented team. They're top heavy with talent. If Ben Simmons can get comfortable, look, mentally, physically, all of that. He hadn't played basketball in a year. The Nets are still a team that can make some noise in the playoffs. They're bad defensively. Like, I understand all of their flaws, and Kyrie's going to end up doing something else to just piss everybody off, another group of people, and say something stupid, and then he's going to have to explain himself, and it's going to be a distraction for the team. But you know what? This is what I say to Kevin Durant. You make your bed, you sleep in it. There you go. You left one of the most egoless stars in the NBA in Steph Curry to go play here, so this is what you get. But I still think the Nets are a better team than the Sixers are. If you look at it, again, it's on paper. We know how paper can go. But, all right, I got my fraud for you.
Give it to me.
And it pains me to say this. I hate to say it because it's been a great story in the NFL. But it's time we just let Cinderella turn into a pumpkin. Cinderella was the pumpkin, right? It was the pumpkin. Got that right.
Yes, yes.
The Seattle Seahawks are frauds. It's time. It was a fun story. They've lost back-to-back. They've failed to cover in back-to-back games. Let's also think about the wins that Seattle has had this year. Denver, it looked like a great win on Monday Night Football, right? Look at Geno Smith. Oh, they made the Broncos. The Broncos are awful. Nobody's showing up to Russell Wilson's birthday party, apparently. He's lost the locker room. No one wants to be his friend. He's putting out corny TikTok videos consistently. He can't throw the football. He's not running anymore. They're horrible in the red zone. That's Denver. Then they beat Detroit. Detroit's an explosive offense, but they're not a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Arizona. Arizona's a mess. They beat a banged-up Chargers team. And now they just lost to the Bucs, who are also a mess and have an offensive line that is in shambles at this point. And by the way, they beat the Raiders, who've been lost all season. None of those wins really are that impressive. Now, I get it. You're looking back in hindsight. But isn't, as Steve Spurrier once said, hindsight's always 50-50. Well, it's hindsight is always 50-50 here. We can look back and connect the dots and see that Seattle may be a great story. Give Pete Carroll all the credit in the world. Geno Smith, I love seeing this guy get a chance to start and succeed. He's worked hard to get to this point. But the reality of this is for the Seattle Seahawks is they're going to start to fade. We're starting to see that happen now as Washington is now climbing into the last playoff spot. Seattle has fallen back. The Seahawks will continue to fade into the distance, into the ether, and they are frauds. They are no longer a team that we can call a Cinderella.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Nick. And now we're getting to the point in the NFL season where you're starting to see a separation between the contenders and the pretenders, right? Like you said, Seattle was a great story. It was fun. They got a really good young core. They've drafted really well these last couple of years. Geno's been an unbelievable story. But they lost to Tampa out in Germany. Then off their bye week, they lose at home to the Raiders, who just, I mean, the Raiders were in free fall. Had no business of winning that game. And now they're laying 7.5 at the Rams this week, which I just think is way too big a number. I'm with you, though. Seattle, I think long term, man, the future's bright in Seattle. They got a really nice young core there. But for this season, they are frauds. They are not going to make the playoffs. They are not still as bad as the team that we all thought they would be coming into the season.
Oh, sure. I thought they'd win 2 games.
You thought they'd win that little?
Yeah.
I had faith that maybe they'd win like 5 or 6.
Good for you. I thought they were like a 2-3 win team. I was like, they look atrocious.
Yeah. That raw. Well, especially a quarterback. I mean, we all thought maybe it was going to be Drew Lock instead of Geno.
Which, but Drew Lock would have made them atrocious.
He would have made
I think we realize that now.
It would have made them really bad.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, Seattle, I'm starting to agree. And the thing that really made them good was the defense started to play well along with the offense. Remember early on in the season, Nick, Seattle overs were like the way to go. They were scoring 40 points on everybody, but they were also giving up 40 points. Then all of a sudden, the defense started to turn the corner. But now recently, teams are starting to figure out that defense again, and they're starting to kind of look like that unit we saw earlier in the season. And I think that's the big reason as to why they are some frauds as well.
And again, it's a shame because they're a fun story. But at some point, you get, like early on in NFL, so like I don't really have any true judgment of a team until a quarter of the way through, then I feel like I've gotten at least some sample size. Now we've got a big chunk. Now we're heading into week 13. Now we know who teams really are, and we know who teams are just, what teams are just really, really bad.
Well said. By the way, I'm looking at this graphic we have up right now that the Seahawks to make the playoffs know is a plus 270. I like that quite a bit.
I mean, bet that during the break, honestly.
I understand the reason why that is because there are four NFC East teams in right now, and obviously they're all going to play each other the last 6 weeks of the season, and teams are going to beat up on each other.
You can still be a fraud and win a division. Washington did it at 7-9 a couple of years ago.
You absolutely can't. And Nick, listen to this remaining schedule. So they're probably going to win their next two games at the Rams and home against Carolina. Should win those. But then the next three, home against San Francisco, at the Chiefs, home against the Jets, easily could lose all three of those. And then you finish the season home against the Rams. Stafford's probably going to be back for that. Maybe Cooper Kupp's back from that, but they probably don't play Kupp because they know their season's a lost cause. But that three-game stretch, San Francisco, Kansas City, and the Jets, man, that is that's going to be tough right there.
That's enough to just cause the separation that I'm starting to see now, right? Oof. Like, that's why when you look at it, you just say the stars are not aligning for them any more than where they are now. Like, this was the peak. They've gone through their peak already this year.
And, you know, Nick, like, why they were 6-3 at one point, but listen to these wins they had. They beat Denver, Detroit, Arizona twice, the Chargers, and the Giants, right?
Yeah.
And we know what the Giants are.
They're empty calorie wins. That's what they are.
Empty calorie those wins.
That schedule and those wins were the white bread, the wonder bread of food. Or of wins. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
They're just...
They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat, but then they're losing games also that they probably should win. And, I mean, you look at some of these losses, too. Their record could be a lot better than what it is. They lost to Atlanta at home. They lost to New Orleans on the road. They lost to Las Vegas, obviously, last week. I mean, they could have another 2-3 wins right now. They could be, like, 8-3. So it really could be a lot better than it is. I agree with you, Seahawks. They are frauds.
See, this is what happens when you don't fully tank. A lot of quarterbacks coming out in this draft, and instead,
I know.
Now they're going to have to maybe trade up.
I know. But boy, did they dodge a bullet with Russ, huh?
That is true.
Did they dodge a bullet?
I got to be honest with you, man. Ooh. I thought a fresh start for Russell Wilson was going to be great.
I completely agree.
I'm very disappointed, to say the least.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect forever.